Hey everybody, it's Chris and Rick Talk Guitars. That's Chris over there.
Howdy.
I'm Rick. Today we're going to talk about plateauing as a guitar player. You know, we start out, we're learning, we're all psyched, and then we get to a certain level, and then we feel like, wow, I mean, is that all I can do, or is this how I play? And Chris and I were talking about this the other day, and I was saying how, yeah, I sit down and play with the guitar, and I do the same licks, the same stuff over and over again. And so we're going to talk about how we all kind of reach that point and how we all kind of get out of it. How do you get out of it?
That's a good topic.
Yeah.
How do I get out of it? Well, when you were saying that, I was thinking about anytime I go into a guitar shop or I just like have a minute and I pick up a guitar, I run through this series of like things that I get mind-numbingly sick of. Like, you know, I always hit an A chord, first of all, you know, an open A chord, because you can really tell, for me, a guitar, I can tell what it's about just by hitting that open A chord. And then I'll do these licks that I do all the time. And sometimes you're just like, oh, I'm so bored with my playing. But it's something that you have to deal with the entire time you're playing guitar. And like you said, there's moments when you're like, I got something new, and you get it worked out, and it's like you integrate that into your playing, then you wear that out, and you just get really bored. So I guess it's always about kind of what do you do to keep yourself kind of feel like you're moving forward and not bored with your playing.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
That is exactly what I'm talking about, Chris.
All right, I can well talk done. About that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so... as you were saying, I do the same thing. I play the same chord every time I pick up a guitar, and then I do the same licks every time I pick up a guitar. But what I try to do, and not just when I feel I'm plateaued, but I try to do this all the time, is listen to other guitar players or listen to other instruments even. I love horns. Like, I love listening to horns and horn parts and then trying to adapt them to guitar, which I think is super cool. And then just also listening to different genres of music, you know?
That's cool. Yeah. I think that's the key, is listening is really good for, you know, and I'm guilty of not listening to enough music a lot of the time. I get so busy and I just like, even putting on a record seems like a, you know, I just, once I do, I always love it.
Yeah.
But no, that's, listening is a great way to pick up something. And one thing that I'll recommend, if you can do it, is if you're, you know, into creating guitar parts or coming up with original things, is use your phone and record those little things, because there's been times where I'm like playing something, I'm like, oh, that's cool, I'll remember that. Never do.
I know.
Never do. So when you find yourself saying, I'll remember that, that's the time to grab the recorder and
record
it.
That's a good idea.
But listening, and I don't know if you're like this, but there's artists who I listen to that make me want to play guitar more.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Like, who would you list?
A good example is anytime I listen to anything with Tom Verlaine on it, I love his guitar playing.
Cool.
So like, if I'm listening to Television or one of his solo records, a lot of like guitar from that, the New York, you know, punk and post-punk era. That, I don't know what it is about it, but just listening to a record like that, it's like when the record's over, I'm looking for my guitar.
Yeah.
And as far as songwriting goes, there's always been artists who I listen to, and they make me want to write songs or try to write a song.
Yeah.
And those guys are Neil Young and Lou Reed are like the two big ones. And I'm wondering, like, why is that so much? Because I think it's because both of those artists, when you're listening to their songs, it just flows like so effortless and it seems so real.
Yeah.
And it makes you think, I can do that. But then you start trying to do it as well as they do. And you're like, it's harder than I thought. But they do give you that sense that this is something I can do. I can write a song. They're doing this like they're breathing.
That's kind of cool.
I can breathe. So I'm going to write a song. So,
no, that's kind of cool that you get that vibe from certain artists where it's like, okay, it's accessible to me. I can do, you know.
Right.
What you're doing sounds like I can do that. Yeah, that's kind of cool. I kind of do that too. Some of the artists I listen to are, I'll just go to, like, I'm weird. Like, when I was growing up, my parents had an eclectic record collection. Like, my dad had Andre Segovia.
Wow.
Record. So I would listen to that and I would just trip out on it. Like, fuck, that's like, to the flip side of what you were saying about accessibility. Like, I would listen to Andre Segovia and go, there's no way I could ever do that in my lifetime. And I've tried occasionally to get into classical, but it's a headspace. But so I listen to that just to, but it does inspire me. Like, it doesn't...
That's the key.
Yeah, it doesn't make me want to quit or anything. I just... It's so beautiful and it's so amazing. I'm like, God, I want to... Okay, now I do want to pick up my guitar and just try to mess around with it. Not necessarily classical, but just something.
Or there's elements of that that you can apply. Yeah. Like this, you know, it's really dynamic. Yeah, it's like, what if I take dynamics and just take something away from this? The main thing is to listen to something that gets you looking for your guitar.
Yep.
Have you ever had that where you're like doing something... And all of a sudden, you hear a song on the radio or something, and you have to stop what you're doing and go, I have to figure that lick
exactly.
out. That's great. And I always follow those if I can. And I'm like, that is a really cool lick. I've heard it a million times, but I never really heard it this way. I want to try to figure that out. I always figure that stuff out. I don't do as much as I'd like anymore, enough, you know, cover songs. I'm constantly, you know, when I'm working on things, I'm working on getting parts for somebody's songs or my songs. So anytime I have... like a little project or something like that where we're doing other people's music. That's always really great. And I remember that from when I first started, is learning stuff. It's really hard and I'm kind of lazy sometimes when it comes to solos.
Yeah.
But if you force yourself to do it, I mean, you can pull in little bits, you know, from anything you learn, pull in little bits and like, this is going to be mine from here on. I'm going to take this little spin on it and roll it into my style.
Yep.
And that's good. I think just following that whenever you have that, I need to learn something or I got an idea. If you're able to, just pursue that and you'll end up with new stuff.
Exactly. And I like your suggestion. Well, you implied that, you know, people should just put guitar hangers on all their walls and have a guitar within reach at any point during the day.
Everything.
Yeah, guitar stand next to the toilet, next to the plunger. I totally hear you. And it's funny you say the recording on the phone. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
The trick for me is to remember to go back to my phone and listen to the stuff I recorded. But you're right. It's cool because I'll do that and I won't remember a lick or anything or even a melody or something like that. So it is a handy tool. And I have used it actually. I've gone back and go, oh yeah, I remember that chord progression or that cool thing I was doing. Ah, that's cool. And I have used it. So yeah, that is a great idea. Or like another thing I get inspired by is I'll go see a live band.
Oh yeah.
And I'll see some players. Yep. It doesn't even have to be the guitar player, just some person in the band that's doing something cool. And I'm like, God dang, that's cool.
Yeah.
Or just listening to interviews and listening to how intense or into music a certain artist is. And I'll be like, you know, I'm lazy. I don't do this for a living, but I want to be as into it as I can be so that what I'm producing is good and is, you know, has something behind it. You know what I mean? So that happens to me a lot where I'll listen to an interview by an artist or read an interview by an artist and I'll go, damn, this person, like, you know, it could be like how they dedicated themselves to their instrument or just any number of things. But it's like, wow, I'm inspired by that person's dedication to their craft, you know?
No, I agree. Interviews are great. And also reading books. I've been reading a lot of gear nerd books lately. Yeah. And like, I just got the Stratocaster Chronicles, 50 years of the Stratocaster. And that was really inspiring for me to go back and, you know, kind of review the history of the instrument. But it also made me pull my Strat out and kind of like just get back to knowing that a little bit. So that's great. I mean, the gear thing can go either way. You can either like use it, you know, explore and nerd out and, you know, be creative, or it can just suck all your time
up. I know.
Like just nerding out more than you're playing.
Yeah.
But I think it can be interviews and reading books. I just read a really good book that I'm going to lend you when you leave.
Yeah.
It's called The Birth of Loud.
Oh yeah.
And it's about Leo Fender and Les Paul. And I, you know, I saw the book and I'm like, I've read so much about these guys. Do I really need to read something else? But I'm glad I did. It's written in such a way that's really, really fantastic.
That's cool.
So I recommend that book to anyone. And that inspired me to play more. I mean, so
that's awesome.
Whatever you can do to just, you know, be around your instrument more and just kind of, you know, pull in something new to just kind of spice it up. The other thing that I'll say, something that I've experienced recently, is switching up instruments. I mean, if I'm feeling really bored with my playing, I can grab the mandolin. And what I've done now was I dug out my, I have a Dobro, an actual Dobro biscuit bridge resonator, and I put that in G tuning. And one thing I found is from spending so much time with the mandolin, even though it's completely different tuning, it makes me, my head in a space where I can like just kind of work on the fly and transcribe things, and it's more easy for me to pick up a new tuning simply because I've been thinking about a different tuning on a different instrument.
Yep.
So it puts you in that zone. So there's where one instrument kind of led to a, you know, boost in my game on another instrument and back and forth. So switching it up is always a good thing.
That's cool. And yeah, that's a good point, because I do this. I do that. I got to get my mandolin out now.
You do. That's a really cool.
Because you're right. It does. It's tuned differently, and it makes you think about, you know, chord shapes and everything else differently, because it's different, you know, and it's a smaller form factor and all that other stuff. But yeah, that's a great idea, is just to grab another instrument. Or, well, I was getting into bass for a while too.
That's great.
Which is cool, because another thing too, I think I fell into this trap. Like, people think about bass and it's like, oh, it's four strings. It's, you just, you know, you'd play the root note and stuff. But then you listen to people like James Jamerson or
Paul McCartney
or any number of great bass players, Carole Kay, right? And what they're doing is, like, if you isolate it, you go, what song is this?
Right.
But man, you put it in the context of the song, you're like, yeah, that's what they should have done. And I was watching a video about the making of Peg by Steely Dan.
Yeah.
And the bass player was so cool. I forget his name, man. I wish I knew his name. But anyway, the bass player on that session was this cool dude. And he was just an amazing bass player. But they were... and he was doing some slap stuff. That was when slap was kind of coming into bass playing and stuff. And the people in the, you know, like Donald Fagen and Walter Becker were like, no, we don't want slapping. It's might sound, you know, dated or whatever. They were like, no, I'm not into it. So he's like, okay, fine. But he in his mind, that's what fit this part of the song, right? And so he said he put up one of those partitions, like in studios, you know, up, and he kind of turned around and he played the part again, and they said, oh, cool, that's a take. And listening back, he integrated that little slap part in there because it fit the song, you know? But anyway, I'm digressing, but to me, playing bass, that's a whole other headspace that you can get into, and help, and it'll help your other instruments too, because, you know, if you think about it, not just as a root note, but as melody and as serving the song, you're going to do other things that you might not do otherwise. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Other instruments, YouTube sometimes can be really inspiring. And one thing about YouTube that we didn't have way back in the day was you can actually see people break stuff down.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about straight up like lessons, here's how you play that, but you can watch the actual artists and see where they are.
That's
on the
what
neck.
I did.
And that's made it really cool and easy to pick up new things. But yeah, there's still that thing that we do that we mentioned earlier of, you know, just your go-to licks.
Yeah,
you,
well, it's comfortable.
It's comfortable, but and it's just like breathing, you know, you just don't even really think about it.
Yeah.
But I think the goal should be, my own personal goal is to come up with five more things that I play when, subconsciously when I pick up. Without even thinking, these are my things, because I'm pretty sick of the things that I play when I pick up a guitar.
You and I have done that. You know, we sit down together and
give me a cliche.
Exactly. Give me one of my cliches. But yeah, you and I have done that, and it's cool because, you get something because you play differently than I do. We all play differently. We all approach it differently. But I love being able to watch somebody play it on where they're playing it on the neck. For some reason that's important to me. Like when I'm copying something somebody did, I want to know where they're playing it on the neck, because you can play, you know, depending on what it is, you can play it several different places on the neck. But I want to know where they're playing it.
Yeah.
And also what I do is I try to go in and really listen to the parts, because what I've done in the past is I listen to it and I'm like, oh, I know how that goes, or I know how what they did, and I'll come up with what I think they did, and then I'll watch them play it and I'm like, no, that's not what he's doing or she's doing.
It's very subtle
and it's and so I'm like, oh, and usually what I was doing is making it more complicated than what they were doing, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, why did I do that? But that's what I heard in my head, you know.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you deal with, like, let's say you're doing a cover song of somebody and you get a guitar part, like a lead part, that is just like way beyond your capabilities. How do you approach that?
I just sit down. Well, it depends on how motivated
I am. What do you fake, I guess, about it? And what do you keep?
Well, I try to learn it. Like,
that's
for instance,
for
the long cut of My Sharona, there's a cool guitar lead in that song, which is a long solo. But it's kind of complicated in certain parts.
Uh-huh.
And I learned the whole damn thing pretty close note for note. Another one is All on the Watchtower by Hendrix, which for some reason that just, I had to learn that note for note. And I know that one pretty note for note. So what I'll do is I'll just sit down and isolate that damn thing and try to just make a day of it. Yeah. And because it's important to me, like, again, like when I go see people play and they're playing a cover song that has like a distinct, like I wank too, like if it's a part where it's not a distinct part of the song, I'll just do my thing and, or I'll try, but I'll try to make it good and thoughtful, but I don't like it when I see somebody who's playing a guitar lead that is a critical part of the song that, that everybody knows, right? It's 'cause it's melodic or it's, and so, but they'll do their own wanky thing. And it's cool if their wanky thing is super cool and transcends the original thing. But if it's not, I'm like, why didn't you just learn that?
It depends a lot on the song. One approach that I have for things, and I'll give you an example, is somebody that's so far beyond me that, you know, it's like I could take years to get to where he was, is Michael Schenker.
Oh, yeah,
I was going to sit in with a band that was doing Shoot.
Yeah.
And they gave me the solo. You go ahead and do the solo. So there's some very distinct melodic things in there, and I hit all those. But it's like you said, when it gets to the, like, he's flying, this really groovy, like, fast flying.
Totally.
I'm like, there's no way. So I did insert Chris cliche in this little section here, but make every other thing pretty close.
Yeah.
So when you're hearing it, the solo has the same vibe as the record, but there's a part where it goes off where I just could not keep up.
Yeah. And I've done that too. And Michael Schenker's a great example, because I remember the solo for Rock Bottom, which is another crazy, or even Too Hot to Handle. He plays with such abandon, but it's so cool and melodic, but it's not wankery. It's like, it's like melodic, cool, weird stuff, man. And, but seriously, like, I did at one time, I knew that whole solo from Rock Bottom, pretty note for note. But the thing I try to capture above all else is the feel. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't mimic exactly the feel that Michael Schenker has, but I want to emulate it to the point where it feels like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've tried that in the past where I've just been so focused on learning the notes that I have to remind myself, hey, dude, it's like, listen to the feel of what he's doing. And that helps a lot in terms of like trying to interpret those parts, you know?
Totally. And when you approach these attempts to learn this music, do you find yourself taking things from what you learned and rolling it
exactly.
in as your own?
Yep.
That was kind of where I was going.
Exactly.
Like,
I know.
Can't remember what I got from Shoot, but I'm sure I got something.
Oh, totally. Well, I get from Schenker's playing just in general, I get a sense of melody and a sense of playing scales that aren't trite, you know, they're just a little off, you know, a little maybe minor or something. But but those are the two main things I take away from his playing and try to incorporate into my own playing when I'm, you know, wanking or doing whatever, you know.
When you need a fast,
exactly.
like, groovy part, which he's so good at.
Yeah.
A while back, and I think we talked about this in one of the episodes, I just got on this kick where I was going to learn all of 2112, the song. And that was really great. And I don't know, I don't think I pulled any like actual licks from that into my playing, but there's definitely some elements of that, the way like a multi-parted, you know, guitar thing works. And I've like brought it into other things that I've been working on, so, and that was really fun, and I needed to set myself up for another one of those marathon let's learn a classic song, you know, from top to bottom, a fairly complex song.
Yeah, and I don't think you can help but take something away from it, you know, even if it's subconsciously, you know what I mean? Because if you sit with something that long and you're getting into it that much, something's going to rub off on you. And that's the cool thing about it, is at least if you make the attempt to like go into this, wade into this water and spend some time with this, whatever this is, something's going to stick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, let me ask you another question. Yeah. Do you think it's ever good to go, I'm really, my playing is so stale, I don't want to put the guitar down for a while?
Yes.
Have you ever done that?
Yep, like, I have.
Yeah, I think I have too, but I can't think of any actual instances of doing that. But that seems to me like that would help a lot. Like, especially if you said, I'm going to set this guitar down for a week and I'm going to do nothing but listen to music.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe take notes or something like that.
And more often than not for me, it's just like I get busy or something and I won't play the guitar like I usually do, just sitting down noodling. And so it'll be a week and I haven't really touched my guitar that much. And then I'll pick it up and I'll go, oh yeah, this is cool. Because you do, you have a fresh perspective on it. And yeah, and so even if it's, and I have done it consciously too before, where it's like, nah, I'm not going to play it, because I've gotten to that point where it's like, ah, okay, put it down, you know?
Right.
And it's super helpful, because just that time away from it and then coming back, it seems fresh.
Some
and
freshness.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. I do that every once in a while. It's like, ah, pick up my guitar. And just like after a moment, I'm like, you know what? Nothing good is going to come from this. And I put it down.
Craigslist.
Yeah, the entire... everything I own, I'm Craigslist.
Yeah. More often than not, though, it's just I get busy and I don't pick it up, and then I'll come back to it, and it's like, yeah, it's cool, it's positive. It, just anything you can do is good to help your playing. Whatever instrument you play, really, pick up another instrument. You know, play it through a different amp. You know, that's another right. thing too that we talk about. Is like, because you've got some cool amps, some that you built, some that, you know, that you've acquired, and they all get different sounds, and it's cool. And you and I have been watching YouTube videos and stuff too. I've been getting more into guitar players that use the guitar as their point of control, right? For volume or tone, rather than just pickup switching or the amp, you know? Because right. I think that's super cool. And I still really admire players who just like, okay, I've got one pickup, I've got two knobs, you know, and I'm going to use
Truth.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, man. And it's like, that is, if you can do that, that's cool, because like, you know, getting dynamics just with how hard you're digging in or all that crap, you know, and it's, I dig that. I've been getting more into that.
That's cool. No, that, I mean, looking for different, you know, using tonal inspiration
yeah.
for like moving your playing along when you're stuck too. I do that sometimes. And you mentioned the different amps. It was like when I was reading that Stratocaster book, I went and got my Strat. I'm like, had it out looking at it while I'm reading this thing like a total nerd. And then when it came time to play, I went out here and I did the 61 Champ. Like, this is like, you know, a 60s sort of style Strat in this amp, and just the straight guitar chord into the amp. And that was really cool and really inspiring. And I came yeah. up with just, you know, some new stuff. But
that's cool.
Get taking inspiration wherever you can. And some people get inspired by having a new, completely new tone available to them. You know what yep. I mean? Because it triggers something like, here we go. This, I mean, I've had gear that is directly responsible for, you know, a song. I got
smart. Yeah.
And it might be something that you don't even think would cause you to write a song. Like I sold on, when I was selling stuff on eBay, I had some like floor, like multi-effects unit, like Bosch thing that you program. And I just wanted to try it so I could put it on, you know, on eBay.
Right.
And I plugged it in and I was dicking around with it, making sure everything worked. And I got a song out of it. It had a really weird
That's so
tone
cool.
in it. It was...
So you kept the pedal?
The Mesh You Made, no. that song that we used
oh, seriously?
To play.
Yeah.
That came out
tune.
Of a Boss, one of those multi-effects
That's crazy.
Unit. Yeah. I think everybody gets there at some point where you're just so, your playing yeah. just seems so stale. And that's a bad place to be, but you do have options for getting out of it. I do anyways. I can usually get myself out of it.
Yeah. It's like I get to those places and it is negative. It's like, well, God, is this really all I can do?
Yeah.
I suck.
I've been playing for 100 years.
Yeah. And this is as far as I've gotten. Yeah. But like you say, it's great. I get inspired by you because you'll try a little pedal or some funky, you'll find a pedal in the garbage can and make it work again. It's like, God, that's cool. And so I try to do that too more often now, is like just try different things and try, or like, slide is something I've always
yeah,
tried to get into.
That's an ongoing thing.
And I've gotten better because, there's some slide guitar and the U2 stuff that I'm doing. But, right. also I've tried to, you know, I love some of the great slide players, you know, like
yeah.
Johnny Winter and all that stuff. So over time I kind of chip away at it, but I would like to, dedicate more time to slide playing, because I do enjoy slide playing, and I think done in tastefully applied,
it's
really
a great
cool.
thing to yeah. have in your arsenal.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, it's really hard. It seemed
it
like
is.
When I, for, you know, first few years where I was playing, I was better at it for some
really?
Reason. It used to seem easier, and I was using like ridiculously light strings and everything else. Now it's kind of like I really got to pay attention. I am playing slide on some songs live now, which is great
yeah.
because that's like, here you go. Play bad and you're going to feel like an asshole. So, yeah, and now that I'm messing with the dobro, that's going to help. I
yeah.
mean, that tuning, you know, it's a G tuning, but your three middle strings are the same as a guitar, so you can pull a bunch of that away from learning there and add it to the electric
yeah.
you know, or the acoustic. So I'm sticking with that. It's been going on a few months now where I've really kind of force myself. Like, I want to get respectable at
that's
slide.
Cool.
So,
yeah. Well, the cool thing about the dobro too is it's set up for that. Really, you know, yeah. It's higher action. It's like, and maybe that's the way to go, man. Is what I should do, because I always just try to play on any one of my guitars that just set up for normal playing. But I want to be able to play on that.
No, I recommend just going and doing it on your electric guitar, and then later, if you got a resonator, you're going to be that far ahead because you'll have the light touch. Yeah. If you start out on the resonator,
then it'll be harder to get to.
Yeah, when you get to the electric, you'll just be knocking frets. For me, anyways, that's what happens. So I'm right now. I'm on the resonator, but I'm constantly picking up an electric and seeing how it's translating, seeing if I'm still got the light touch. And so far, it is. I think I'm going to come away a better electric slide player too. Better. Got all this damn timing.
You better.
It.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, yeah. I mean, I think the takeaway today, folks, is just find ways to challenge yourself. You know, find ways to get inspired. And if you find yourself in a rut, maybe just put it down for a few days.
Yeah, look,
that's not a bad idea.
Listen,
you know?
Read, and put it down if it doesn't work.
Exactly.
That's what I do anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
me too.
Everybody's probably different, but. Anything you can do to make you want to get back to your guitar and, you know, come up with something.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. As always, check us out on social media. And we've got some stuff coming up on the website that's going to be cool, actually.
We
just
do.
A little teaser. So just keep your eyes peeled on the website.
All right.
Because stuff's
I'm
coming.
Keep
my
eyes peeled.
All right. All right. We're signing off. Take it easy.
Goodbye.